Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
Boy, that's a good one. I'm going to throw in Dominic Hasek in there, too.
Of course. Really very fair. Yeah.
They're all great in their own ways. What I like about them all, they all had different styles, but the one thing they all had was that burning desire to be the best player, and they weren't going to let that puck in.
Game 7, you got to pick a goalie, Jim.
You're not going to let me off the hook, are you? You know what? I'd put the blindfold on, and whoever I got, I'd be happy.
Good there one.
I know sooner or later we're going to run out of airtime here, so we're going to have to hang up, so I'm good.
I think as an old Canadiens fan growing up in Hearst, Ontario, I know Pierre LeBrun's answer. How are you, Pierre?
I'm all right, Mitch. I don't know, but I mean, it's hard. I mean, I think Patrick was probably the greatest goalie ever, but I think Marty's right there with him, man.
Yep,
it's damn close. It's really close.
Yeah, it's kind of like the debate when you talk to old-timers, as I know you have, as I have through the years, Sawchuk or Plant? Sawchuk or Plant? Plant or Sawchuk?
Yeah, I mean, there's no bad answer. And Jim Neal's right. Throwing Hasek, it makes it even murkier, although I still think I'd take Patrick and Marty ahead.
Yeah. So is there anything you learned being assigned to the All-Star festivities in Columbus?
I learned that somehow what was already a terrible game can actually get worse. So that was surprising to me. I mean, that was really...
Was the league embarrassed by this?
Well, they're never going to admit that, but I got to tell you, I think there are people in the league who absolutely share my feeling that, you know, they've got to find a way to make that better.
Michael Farber with us at this time yesterday. He's in Florida.
I wonder how New England's going to stop Marshawn Lynch.
I don't like it.
The mixed Euro team has kind of a goofy charm, and I might be able to live with that. The Young Guns is insupportable.
share your thoughts with us on the announced World Cup format.
I love the fact the World Cup has come back and come back in a large scale. In other words, that they've already got plans for 2019 qualifying tournament, a 2020 bigger tournament, a much bigger tournament than the one in 2016. So the fact there's a long-term committed vision to this thing coming back on a four-year interval once and for all after this ridiculousness of having one in 96 and then one in 04 and then none since.
Right.
That I love. And I love the Ryder Cup idea for the fall of 2018. Again, it's not finalized, they're still talking about it, but conceptually, you know, the world against North America, best of five in London, England, or in Berlin, Germany, love that stuff. What I don't like, and I don't care how much they try to spin me on it, is I don't like the 23 and under young stars and the rest of Europe all-stars as, you know, the two gimmicky entries for 2016. Now, you know, it's probably a one-off. I think they'll go back to just having normal countries for 2020, but so I understand that. I understand they want to get as many NHLers involved in that tournament in 2016. I get all that. But I'm just not sold on those two gimmicky teams. To me, it just brings the integrity of the event down a notch.
With TSN Hockey Insider and, of course, ESPN.com, Pierre LeBrun is with us every Tuesday and Thursday a little after 6. And I know one of the questions a lot of hockey fans, when they first heard the news that Mike Richards was being waived by Los Angeles and they realized what the procedure was, were wondering, geez, is he really going to go to the a place he's never played? Is he really going to go to the American Hockey League? You can confirm now that he is.
Well, yeah, I literally was on the phone with his agent, Pat Morris, as you guys were phoning on the other line. But Pat, obviously longtime agent, Newport Sports, has been in discussion with Mike a lot of the day and just informed me that Mike does intend to get to Manchester tomorrow and should be playing Friday. And that the goal right now is to get his game back, to get his confidence back, and then certainly to augment his value here as time goes on. He is indeed going, according to Pat Morris.
Do you see anybody biting? I mean, it's such a different situation. Even Renny Bork, who's, what, 3 or 4 years older, Renny Bork's contract has one more year to go. Mike Richards has got another, what, 5?
After this year, there's 5 years and $22 million left on Mike's deal. It carries a 5.75 cap hit. But it actually, it's interesting, it kind of decreases to the last 2 years of $3 million each. I did the math on it. I mean, if the Kings are unable to trade him between now and this summer and decide to buy him out, which I'm not sure they would, but let's say they do, it's a 10-year cap hit of 1.467 every year over 10 years, which I think, I can't remember how many years DiPietro or Yashin were on the books for the Islanders, but 10 years sounds to me like maybe the record. But again, I don't know if the Kings would want to do that. I think what they truly hope, and Dean Lombardi told me this last night, is that, Mike, and he compared it to a veteran baseball slugger, in a deep slump going back to the minors and finding his swing back. He hopes that Mike, finds his game again in the AHL and then they can bring him back up at some point. Or obviously other teams will be interested trade-wise, so we'll see what that happens.
I mean, this is a player. This is such a valuable player through the years, a captain, a gold medal winner for our country, who at some point, seemed to just hit a wall. I mean, one of the things about Scott Gomez, I find Gomez's return this year, it's intriguing. You know, if you watch Scott Gomez play right now, he's actually effective again. He's not one of the elite players, but Gomez's game is about quickness. Mike Richards doesn't have the quickness, so I'm really curious to see how this plays out.
Yeah, I mean, he has lost a step, and that's what's hurt him so much, because he's certainly still a high IQ player, still a character guy, and some of those elements came to fruition in the last couple rounds of the playoff last year. You know, after having a really tough year to the point where scratch/fourth-line center, I tell you what, in the Stanley Cup final, Mike Richards became prevalent again. So, you know that it's there, but, it's got to be more there. And, he doesn't turn 30 till next month. The guy's 29. But certainly, so much more is needed from this guy for any team to be willing to spend that kind of money for the next 5 years on him.
How close do you think they came to pulling the trigger on a buyout or something else this past summer?
Well, I've written about this. Lombardi and Richards had a couple of long, drawn-out, emotional one-on-one sessions at the end of the year where they went back and forth, and Lombardi, was so anguished by it all because Mike Richards was like a son to him, or is, I shouldn't say was, but, he will tell you, Dean Lombardi, that they never win a cup without Mike Richards. That trade and what he brought to that room changed that team from a team that was happy to belong to a team that could win. And so there was this deep emotional connection between the GM and the player, and to the point where Lombardi made the decision last summer, when it was the last time ever they could buy out a player without having count against the cap, that probably 29 other GMs would not have made. I think the other GMs would have seen enough to say, let's buy him out. But, Lombardi believed that kind of loyalty has to be a two-way street in terms of the other guys in the room also seeing that. But at the end of the day, certainly it looks like it wasn't the right decision, even though, again, I don't think Lombardi would say he would do any differently.
With Pierre LeBrun of ESPN.com, TSN Melnick in the afternoon. It's the Irish Embassy pregame portion of the show on TSN 690. Habs and Dallas Stars coming up. Okay, the Marty Brodeur situation, we'll talk more after we hear him speak on Thursday about it, but it's a strange end to a great career, and I know it's the hardest thing for a successful professional athlete is to say goodbye. When is the right time? I know he had the 700 was in his view. I mean, he's got so many other records, and he had 700 in sight.
Mm-hmm.
But the messy end, it seemed like a messy end between the Devils and Marty Brodeur. Is he going to end up back in New Jersey sooner than later in the front office?
Well, here's what I can tell you. I can tell you that Marty right now has zero plans past this year. And right now all he's committed to is working in the Blues front office and seeing if that's the kind of thing that he wants to do for the rest, of his life, or at least for, next number of years. He wants to find out if management is for him. That's all he's playing. He has no plans past this year for those who are already speculating about, a definite return to New Jersey next year. Now, what I'll tell you is Lou Lamoriello in no uncertain terms, told me that he believed Marty Brodeur would be back in New Jersey one day working for him. So where that gap, you know, gets ironed out in between those two realities, we'll see. Now, you know, Brodeur and his agent, Pat Brisson, had conversations with Lou Lamoriello about, you know, joining the Devils now in a front office capacity. And it just didn't seem like, you know, the right kind of fit at this point compared to the Blues, because, you know, the Blues are the first ones to come up with this idea. And B, I think Brodeur feels there's a sense of loyalty slash obligations in terms of the fact that St. Louis was the only team that would let him play games again this year. And he feels like he owes them, and really enjoyed being around Doug Armstrong and Ken Hitchcock and the players there. And so it's like he wants to finish off what he started in terms of his one-year commitment, or the rest of the year anyway. After that, who knows? You know, Lamoriello told me that the conversation ended with Brodeur when Brodeur informed them of his decision to go to St. Louis. Lou said it ended very well. They're still on great terms, and he totally gets it. He absolutely harbors no ill will towards Marty.
Finishing up with Pierre LeBrun. Pierre, as you know, this is the first night of games following the All-Star break, and Jim Nill is one of those general managers whose team right now is on the outside looking in. They're 4 points out of a playoff spot. A year ago at the deadline, he told us, we're still building. We're not interested in a rental. And he said, unless something significant happens between now and trade deadline, he's probably of the same mindset. However, as you know, he's got some older players who he might move, but you can't move when you're this close. There are unrestricted free agents out there around the league playing for teams right now who you don't want to throw in the white towel this early, but you have to know that if you can't sign these guys, you got to move them, right?
No question. I mean, that's the same every year. Now, Lamoriello is the exception to the rules many years. I mean, you know, never moved Parise, never moved Scott Niedermeyer, even though it looked like those guys would walk in their contract year. He's a funny guy. But I suspect when it comes to Jaromír Jágr, I think what will happen, and it might happen in the next week here, that Lamoriello and Jágr will have a heart-to-heart, and I think they want to do well by each other. I think Jágr wants to be really respectful towards Lamoriello, and I think Lamoriello wants to do what's right for Jágr. So I think there'll probably be some kind of conversation there at some point. But otherwise, it's pretty obvious the rest of the league. You know, if the Leafs can't sign Cody Franzen, they'll trade him. If Carolina can't sign Andrés Sequeira, who I think is the best get going in terms of pending UFAs, he'll be traded by Carolina if they can't sign him shortly. So, yeah, we're getting to that point where a lot of things become obvious because of the calendar. That's why there's a deadline. It forces agents and teams and players to come to a decision because they can't drag this out any longer.
You said Lamoriello's a funny guy.
He actually has a good sense of humor.
Is he funny or weird?
Well, I just mean that he beats his own drum. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't always, you know, he hasn't traditionally done what other teams have done at this time of year.
Yeah. So Jágr in Montreal, a lot of Canadiens fans are going, oh, come on, not again? We're going to play this game again? How many times can they say no to Jaromír Jágr?
Yeah.
If you're going to look at teams that could use him.
And Jágr's, my understanding is, I don't remember when it was, sometime over the last 2 or 3 years, Jágr's agent, Peter Svoboda, did talk to Bergevin, but I don't think it went far. So, yeah, I don't know if that's something really that would make sense for the Habs at this point, but gosh, I'd love to see it. Just from a pure selfish point of view, I think it'd be awesome.
All-Star weekend in Columbus or media day at the Super Bowl?
Cool. I would want part of neither, and I just did one of them. You know what? The event itself in Columbus was tremendous. I got to say, tip of the hat to the Blue Jackets, honestly. They made that, you know, a fun time. But there's nothing they can do, nor anyone apparently, to make that game interesting on any level. Oh, my gosh. I think I got an assist in that game. I got to go back and look at the score sheet.
You're going to end up in the hockey encyclopedia. Pierre LeBrun, one assist. Great talking to you as always. We'll do it again on Thursday.
Sounds good. All right, Mitch. See you, buddy.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.